Welcome to the Full of Tracy Monday audio commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording. It's 3:30 p.m. and that is Central Time. Today is January 26th. I thought we'd kick off with the Fangman plus Tesla index. So it's just the eight shares that represent the mega cap companies. So it trended downwards from the end of 2021, and arguably it's still in a downtrend. So what would break that downtrend? Well, first, it will need to push up into the overhead trading range, so it might be doing that today. Then, if it can sustain a move up through the 200-day moving average, then that would greatly enhance the potential that the downtrend has been broken. If it can puncture a midpoint danger line, which would be the middle of the overhead trading range, then that would certainly take out any short stops that might still be in play. So we're at a rather interesting juncture here. And I think it's worth just highlighting that the largest of these companies, which is Apple, and they're going to be releasing their $3,000 augmented reality headset in the not so distant future. It's up over the last week, now approaching the region of that 200-day moving average and the big psychological $150 area, and a short-term oversold condition has been replaced with a short-term overbought condition. So we're certainly at an interesting juncture here. Then we can think about Tesla, where the share really did pull back incredibly quickly. Just from the end of last year to the beginning of this year, the share price dropped by 50%. So we're seeing a substantial rebound right now, but it was off a little, off the peak in here today. But you can see here that it gapped higher. So when you look at these figures, where it says down 37 cents, that's not exactly true. Now, when we think about what's going on, well, Tesla is selling more cars. They shaved $7,500 off the price of a vehicle at the end of last year, so that is going to ignite some demand for their vehicles. So it does beg the question, though, why don't more automotive companies engage in the same kind of practice? Why don't they go on sale? And there's a reason. It's because you condition the consumer to expect discounts. Now, when people generally go and buy any kind of other vehicle, they haggle a bit with the seller, and they don't really know what the price is. Whereas when you buy a Tesla, you know what the price is because they don't haggle, but they do discount. So why on earth would you pay sticker for a Tesla when you know that when sales go down and they panic, they're going to shave prices? So you certainly wouldn't pay immediately after they've raised the price. And then what of course that does is it stores up demand. And that's exactly what has happened. So now prices are rebounding, and I think it is likely that they will test the $200 area, and that by the time it gets there, that will be the region of the 200-day moving average. Then the question is, how much further can it go? And we're obviously in the earnings season right now, and there's some very clear takeaways. The first is that any company that comes through with solid earnings and reasonably positive guidance is being richly rewarded. So Tesla is a good example of that. Then we should just pay attention to something like IBM. So they are not coming through with better than expected earnings and then getting heavily punished for that. Intel is another example, and the share having been up yesterday is now sitting around $28 in after hours, so a lot closer to where it started out the week, and well, actually below that. So There's obviously the potential here that $30 is a bit of an area of resistance in what's a developing base formation, and the company is going to have to spend a ton of money to try and revitalize itself and compete with Taiwan Semiconductor. Well, the performance of the two shares, it does help to highlight that there is a bit of a difference. Now, Taiwan Semiconductor did not hold this pop on the upside in here this week. So we had a lot of volatility 2 days ago. But considering that there was what is essentially a fat finger type of event at the New York Stock Exchange, the ability to hold that $90 area is going to be more important than the long tail on the candle. And if we look at the Taiwan, or sorry, the Philadelphia Semiconductors Index, well, it has broken the downtrend, and it's bounced from the region of the 1,000-day moving average. So that's really rather encouraging, and it suggests that the lows are probably in. Now, quite whether it's reasonable to anticipate that we're going to have an uptrend like we did from the lows in 2020 up to the peak in 2022, I think that's much more questionable. We could be in for prolonged ranging, but it wouldn't be at all surprising to see a trough to peak swing in the region of 100%. And we could see a range forming where you could go up for a couple of years and down for a year, and you could still see very large swings. And I think that is more than likely going to be the condition of the market over the next few years. But that's an estimate, or that's my belief, but we'll see whether it actually turns out to be the correct one. Now let's think about the S&P 500. Just in general terms, it did pop on the upside in here today, and now it is above the 200-day moving average. Now, it has not yet broken the sequence of lower rally highs, but it certainly has a higher reaction low. So certainly it is looking more likely than not that we will get a further rally. And then all eyes are going to pay attention to what the Federal Reserve is doing. So the 10-year yield was up about 6 basis points today and continues to hover here around the 3.5% level. So if the Fed decides that they're going to move down to a hike of 25 basis points on the next meeting, and then subsequently just stand pat at the next few meetings, it enhances the potential that interest rates will stay higher for longer, that we will see greater pressure put on the wider economy because of higher interest rates. And the Fed will be encouraged, I think, to keep interest rates higher for longer simply because wage growth has been very resilient. The labor market is running hot, and inflationary pressures, they're coming down, but it's more like they're transforming, that the sources of inflation are changing. And one sector in particular where inflation is really going to start to bite this year is in insurance, and they're raising premiums at an accelerating rate. They're certainly looking to protect their margins. So the insurance sector now is right in the region of the peak from the early part of 2022 and firming through it. Then let's think about the banking sector. I looked at lots of sort of the shadowy banks or the non-bank lenders yesterday, but the S&P 500 banks index is coming up to the upper side of this range that's been forming for the last 7 months and was in additional positive territory in here today. Now, let's then look at European banks because Europe is able to, or has been able to avoid a recession. And there's not a lot of talk about how that was achieved. And the reality is that Europe pulled out all the stops, and they spent a ton of money on natural gas. And that ensured that inventories of natural gas in Europe are at record highs for this time of year. And that's been helped along both by the inventory build and the reasonably warm weather. And that's allowed Europe to avoid a recession or come very close to avoiding a recession. But what it has also done is greatly enhanced the deficits that governments are running. So they've basically bought themselves out of a recession. And then let's just think about the fact that the Eurozone banks index has popped on the upside, and it's been ranging mostly below 100 now for the last 4 years. And there was a failed upside break at the beginning of 2022, and it came down below 80 and then rebounded. So now the big question for everyone is whether it's going to hold this move above 100. But so far, so good at least. And then let's just stick with the banking sector. And the FTSE 350 banks have pushed on to new recovery highs. So this is a pretty impressive breakout. And it suggests that the UK will also avoid a recession. And then that will result in fewer loans going bad. And therefore, that all the loan loss provisions that European and UK banks have set aside because they were anticipating a recession, well, they can come back on the balance sheet. So that's a rather positive development. And then let's think about the FTSE 250, where it has now broken the sequence of lower rally highs. So it had been lagging, but it is beginning to play catch up. And I think this is a rather impressive development here. And then let's think about Germany and the Mittelstand. And the MDAX has also broken the sequence of lower rally highs. So European mid caps are doing better. They pulled back more during 2022, but they are now beginning to recover. Then it's also worth thinking about the low valuations that are evident on large numbers of developed market automakers. Volkswagen trades on a PE of 4 and it yields 4.68. So then it does beg the question, why aren't people buying it? Why don't we have valuation expansion? Why hasn't it been able to, so far at least, break the sequence of lower rally highs? Personally, I think that it is likely, and particularly when we see this recovery in banks, the resilience of the insurance sector, and the fact that Europe has been able to more or less avoid a recession. Certainly, they've avoided the depth of the recession that everyone was predicting 7 or 8 months ago. Well, there's a good reason for it. It's that they now have to compete with Chinese companies, and China is undercutting on price. So it's not like Tesla, where they try to compete on price on an ad hoc basis because they're discounting. China has an absolutely lower cost per unit, and it's worth, I think, just thinking about some of those companies. And let's see, we're not getting SAIC coming through just when I type it in for China. So let's just look at BYD. And Chinese stocks opened up again in here today, and BYD is popping on the upside. So now it's back above the 200-day moving average. So China is going to be exporting more vehicles, and Europe has to compete. The automotive sector is intrinsic to large portions of the Eurozone economy. So what are they going to do to compete? Well, let's think about the positive solution first. They could invest in more robots, and they could shave their workforce, introduce more automation, and therefore enhance productivity and they would survive. The problem, of course, is that the automotive unions might not be very happy with that because they would need to absorb a large number of people getting laid off. So, Europe, on the other hand, is practicing protectionism. And the carbon credits market was up in a quite dynamic manner in here today and pushing up to the upper side of this range. Well, I regard this as purely protectionist, that Europe sees that China has, well, we talked a decade and more ago about China moving up the value chain. Now we have the reality that the Shanghai Automotive Company, SAIC, is exporting 400,000 vehicles a year. And that is probably the thin end of the wedge because they have deployed massive automation. So China has been the biggest buyer of robots anywhere for years. And they've set up automated production lines and they're pumping out vehicles. So Europe has a big challenge in front of it. What are they going to do about that? Well, they could become more productive, but that's really hard. Or they can decide to be protectionist. So these rules that Europe is developing to attach carbon credit taxes to imports based upon the carbon intensity of their production is ultimately designed at enhancing regional comparative advantage. And they're ensuring that carbon credit prices won't go down. I kind of think that there is an argument that carbon credits are something akin to bonds. Now, you're not getting a yield, but you do pretty much have a guaranteed return, and they're sponsored by the government. So when prices go down, they issue fewer of them. When prices go up, then it's government sponsored. And they want those prices up to about 130 euro. They think that that is the only way to make green carbon competitive, excuse me, green hydrogen competitive. We are starting to see some interest coming back into the hydrogen sector. We've had some of these companies that did really very well in 2019 through 20. They're just beginning to develop base formations. So ITM Power was certainly one of those. And Ceres Power was another one that had done really very well in the period of 19 through 21, and then gave up almost the entire advance. But it does appear to at least be trying to put in a base formation right now. Then, if we think about these other companies, if carbon credit prices go up, then that's beneficial for these kinds of companies. But at the same time, it's rather hard to make the argument that the whole sector is doing well. There are pockets of outperformance, but we're not really seeing a lot of enthusiasm coming through here. And a good part of the reason for that is because of higher interest rates. So the solar sector hasn't really been able to yet escape velocity just yet. And the wind sector, despite the fact that China is going to be installing serious volume over the next couple of years, both onshore and offshore, the wind ETF, it's steady and it was in positive territory this week. But it hasn't quite convincingly yet been able to break the downtrend. So we're getting there, but it's been slow going. And I think these sectors will do better when interest rates begin to come back down. But we're just not there yet. Meanwhile, oil prices remain really quite steady, and we're up $1.50 or almost $1.50 in here today. If it can push up through the $90 area, then that will enhance the scope for a retest of the $100. So we're certainly in more of a risk-on environment overall, and there's certainly the potential that we could see additional upside in the near term. But ultimately, central banks aren't going to be encouraged to cut interest rates when asset prices are appreciating. And the longer they hold rates at these highs, the more likely it is that something or somewhere or someone is going to run into trouble. And when that trouble arises, then we'll see a more difficult time for markets. So I think there's certainly the scope here for additional upside. And then the risk on environment is concentrated in anything that's exposed to China. Because while we have falling liquidity in North America, we certainly have China that is very keen to reflate their economy. And that is helping to drive the demand for Chinese assets. So the H-share index was up in quite a dynamic manner in here today. And then there's also renewed enthusiasm for companies like Tencent. And that has now quite clearly broken its downtrend and pushed up through the $400 level in here today. So the re I think return of enthusiasm for Chinese investments is certainly still on pace, and that is the source of additional liquidity that's helping to spur investor sentiment. And I think with that, I'll leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.